traditionally during Jews' month, we try to find a little softer, lighter topics. So we figured we'd try to find something appropriate, like ribbis. So see if we can knock it off in the next 2 weeks or so, see if we can get it done. So I thought, to give a little bit of an overview, ribbis is a very complicated area of halacha, to say the least. If I had a vote on what the most difficult prek in Shas is, I would vote Ezu Neshach. But they didn't ask me for the vote, so that's what I'm assuming. Again, we're not going to have a chance to learn all of Hilchos Ribbis in the next couple of weeks, but I thought we would try to familiarize ourselves just with some basic klolim to be able to get just a little bit of hakdam, and then hopefully everyone will at some point want to learn Ribbis properly by themselves. Hopefully myself included, to someday learn it properly. It's very, very hard. Let's begin with the basics, with the ABCs in terms of Ribbis. So the Gemara speaks about Ribbis, two very, very different types of Ribbis. One is Ribbis deraisa, one is Ribbis midderabanan. So we know the Torah tells us in many places there's an issue of taking Ribbis. We'll talk a little bit later on who exactly is also the Malva, the Lova, the Edom, etc. But there clearly is an issue of deraisa, many issues from deraisa involved with the Ribbis. And then there are many, many Mishnayos and Gemaras and Ezu Neshach that speak about different types of Ribbis that are also midderabanan, that for some technical reason don't meet the criteria of Ribbis deraisa. So we have to really define properly what exactly is the Torah's version of Ribbis and what is the Chachamim's elaboration of Ribbis. The Gemara uses a term ready at the very beginning of Ezer Nesha, a term that's called Ribbis Ketutza. Ribbis Ketutza is always used synonymous with Ribbis Deraisa. Whenever you see that term, you know we're in the Deraisa Dika world. The term that's usually used to describe Ribbis Derabanan is called Avak Ribbis. The Gemara uses some other terms in certain technical parts of Ribbis Derabanan we'll talk about, hopefully also as we go on. But those are the two basic terms, Ribbis Ketutza meaning Deraisa, Avak Ribbis meaning Mid Derabanan. Avak, like Avak Lashon Hara, so Avak just means it's the dust. It's missing something in terms of the real Makoy of Ribbis. So the real Makoy of Ribbis Deraisa is the fact that it has to be Ketutza. So what in the world does the word Ketutza mean? So Lektzot, Ketzetz means to set an amount. So a basic definition of Ribbis Min HaTorah is that it has to be a certain amount, it has to be set. So what does it mean it has to be set? So it can be set in different ways. You can have it set in terms of an objective amount. Let's say I lend you $100. And I enter with you the following deal. I'm lending you $100 and you're going to give me back $110. That's the worst case scenario. That's classic Ribbis Ketutza. That, of course, is also in the Torah. You can have a Ribbis Ketutza which is going to be in a percentage. Let's say I'm going to lend you $100 and if you keep on delaying in payments, so we're going to hike up the amount 2%, then 5%, 10%, whatever the numbers are. That's also considered to be Ribbis Ketutza. The idea of Ribbis Ketutza means is that something built into the deal. There's a set amount of Ribbis, either a set fixed amount or a percentage is going to grow in time, whatever the case may be. But the fact that it's set in stone, that's what makes it Deraisa. This is in contrast to Avak Ribbis, which is only Midderabanan, as we'll talk about as we go on. There's many, many situations where I lend you $100. I'm a very nice guy. I lend you $100. I would never dream of charging a Ribbis. So I lend you $100, and the deal is, it says in the document, that you're going to pay me back $100. So the deal is, the ketitza is 100 for 100, so that's okay. The problem is, there are all kind of other things that get thrown in after the fact. Let's say, for example, I lend you $100, and you're going to pay me back $100, but in the interim, I'm going to borrow your car. So that's already not Ribbis ketitza, that's a potential problem of Ribbis midderabanan. We'll have to see what are the guidelines of that are. Let's say, I lend you $100, you give me back $100, but besides giving me back the $100, you decide to give me a tremendous bracha, and you send me a beautiful letter, and you give me a big shkoyach, and brachas, vatzlachas, and everything. So that's what the Gemara speaks about. The Mishnah speaks about the end of Ezer Nesh, about Ribbis Devarim. Sometimes Ribbis can be, even if it's not tangible item, just words alone, can sometimes pose problems of Ribbis. All these other kinds of Ribbises, I'm not sure what the plural Ribbis is, but crap Ribbis, we'll use it. All these other kinds of Ribbiot are not deraisa, and the reason why they're not deraisa is they're lacking this basic fundamental principle of Ribbis Ketutza. So the Ketitza, the fact that there's a set amount, there's a deal that's entered between the Malva and the Loiva, is critical in terms of defining Ribbis deraisa. So the Rambam is a big chiddush in Hilchos Malva of the Loiva in terms of the definition of Ribbis Ketutza. The Rambam says not only is it necessary for there to be a Ketitza in order to qualify as Ribbis deraisa, but the Ketitza has to take place at a certain time. When must the Ketitza take place? And the Rambam says the Ketitza must take place at the time of the halvah itself. So I lend you $100 and built into the deal, either as a contract, you can have Ribbis Mishta, you can have Ribbis Balpeh. So we agree that I'm lending you $100 and you're going to pay me back $120. So that's called Ribbis Ketutza Bishas Halvah. The Rambam says if that dimension is missing, even if there's a Ketitza that's made at a later point, that's not considered to be Ribbis Deraisa. So let's say the Rambam gives an example. If I lend you $100 and the deal is you're going to return me $100 and it's the $100 is due back June 1st. Comes June 1st, I come to you and I say, "Now, where's my $100? So you say, "No, I don't have the money now. Extend the loan for me for another 2 weeks and I'll give you back $110. So the Rambam says, that's called ketutza, but it's not called ketutza b'shas halva'a. So the Rambam says that would not be ribbis d'araisa. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. How did the Rambam know this? Where's the Gemara that says this? There is no Gemara. Rambam had better than the Gemara. The Rambam had a pasuk in Chumash. Ram says it says of es kaspach losita lo beneshech of ribbis losita nochlecha. So the Torah describes the shasta sina. So the only type of ribbis that the Torah recognizes as to be ribbis ketutza b'deraisa is that has to be ketutza b'shas halva'a. So the Ravid vehemently disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ravid says that that's not true. That the illustration that the Rambam gives, that I lend you $100, and then I come at the time of repayment, and you're not paying me back, at the time of the Piron, and I extend the loan, so the Ravid says, that up din is considered to be Shas Alva. What does Shas Alva mean, says the Ravid? Either Shas Alva means when I give you $100, the original Alva, or when I extend a payment of a loan, that's like a new Shas Alva. So June 1st came, it's as if you lent, it's as if you returned me the money. It's as if I relent you the money, and I made another condition that I'm going to give you 100 on the deal that you can give me back 110. So the Ravid says, by definition, whenever there's a ribbis that's extended b'shas hapiron, so that automatically becomes transformed to be a new shas halva, and that's called ribbis ketutza b'shas halva. So that would be ribbis d'araisa according to the Ravid. The implication of the Ravid is that the Ravid b'ikaron also accepts that idea of ribbis b'shas halva. It has to be ketutza b'shas halva, just that the Ravid had an extended version of shas halva. But what if it's neither the shas halva nor the shas piron, in the middle of a deal? So I lend you $100, payable back on July 1st. June 15th, I come to you and say, don't forget, you owe me the money on July 1st. So you say, yeah, I'm going to be a little low on funds July 1st. Let's extend it to July 15th, and I'll throw out another $20. So that's neither ketutza b'shas halva nor ketutza b'shas piron. That's right smack in the middle. So the Ravid sounds like that wouldn't be a problem in a Torah. The Rambam b'ikaron is right that there's a din of ketutza b'shas halva. It's just that the Ravid had an extended version of shas halva. And other Rishonim go even further than the Ravid. Rabban, others say, no, that any ketutza whatsoever, if it's built into the contract, either if it's the original contract or it's an addendum to the contract. When I say contract, I don't mean literally written into the contract. You can have ribbis without any shtar whatsoever. That's all considered to be ribbis ketutza. Ribbis she'ena ketutza means when there's no agreement, there's nothing. Just I lend you $100 and then in the middle of nowhere, you come and you lend me a car or something. So that's called avak ribbis. But anytime there's an agreement between the malv and lova for a specific amount, whether the agreement is b'shas halva, whether it's b'shas piron, whether it's any time in the interim, that could all potentially be ribbis d'araisa. So we have already a three-way machlokes of Rishonim. Just what are the basics? What's called ribbis d'araisa? What's not called ribbis d'araisa? So everyone agrees there's been a ketutza. The Gemara says ribbis ketutza. That's the phrase that's always used by Chazal to describe ribbis d'araisa. Is it necessary that the ketutza be mamish b'shas halva? That's the Rambam's extreme. Is it sufficient that the ketutza be either b'shas halva or b'shas piron? That's the Ravid's middle ground. And the other extreme is appears to be the Shittas Ramban, that any ketitza, anywhere during the course of the loan, is by definition considered to be ribbis d'araisa. How do we pass in the halacha and Shulchan Aruch? So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that the Shulchan Aruch quotes two out of the three opinions. The Shulchan Aruch quotes one opinion of the Rambam, and he quotes the other, the Ravid, and the Ramban up somehow didn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch. So we assume that, again, all these are going to be also. They could be either d'araisa or d'rabbanan. Why are we spending so much time talking about it? So we'll see as we go on. There are some very, very important afkuminas ladina between ribbis d'araisa and ribbis d'rabbanan. So it's important, not just theoretically, to know the difference. There are afkuminas ladina between the two. But just in terms of our introduction, this is still the Shir HaKdama, in terms of our introduction, so two out of the three sheet is made into the Shulchan Aruch. So it's not clear. Most of Rishonim could be followed the right. It's possible that most of Rishonim hold. That's what generally the later poskim assume, that we assume that either one is d'araisa, either b'shas Halva is d'araisa, or b'shas piron is d'araisa. We're not convinced that the third is d'araisa. So we'll work with that assumption that not quite the Rambam, not quite the Ramban, probably somewhere in the middle, like the Ravid's view, that either b'shas halva or b'shas piron is considered to be a potential problem of ribbis d'araisa. When we talk about ribbis d'araisa, who exactly is involved in the issur of ribbis? So here the Mishnah, famous Mishnah, the end of Ezer Neshech, says that the issur of ribbis applies to many, many different people who are involved in these deals. So first and foremost, the issue is on the Malvin. That's Pasuk Chumash a few times. It's Kaspcha Lasitin Lo B'Neshech V'Marbis Lasitin Achlecha. The term Neshech and the term Ribis, so the Gemara says in the beginning of Ezer Neshech, really mean the same. The Gemara first tries to find you differences between the two, and the Gemara says it's not really true. They're all the same. It's two different terms that the Torah uses for whatever reason, but it's all, so usually, colloquially, we just use the term Ribis, even though the name of the parak is Ezer V'Neshech. So comes the Mishnah and says that the Baal of Ashur is over on the Yisur of taking Ribis, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even the Leivis also to give Ribis. This is diametrically opposed to many other dinim and dinim mamonis, but we know that usually in dinim mamonis, so there's a certain degree of mechila that if, let's say, if I break your window and you want to be meichel on the money, okay? There's a din of a mazik, but there's not a chi of minatayr for me to pay you. If you don't want the money, then I don't have to pay you. But let's say if I steal something from you, and now you're meichel, you say, I'm meichel, not machbid. So that's over, finished. So the din tayr is over. When it comes to ribis, so here the Mishnah says befeirish that the lover is also aser to give ribis. Let's say the mouth and the lover both say, I agree to take the ribis, and you agree to give the ribis. I want the loan. I'm plotting to get the loan, so I'm going to give you the ribis. Spirit so nafshi. So the Mishnah says that's an issue. There I said the loiv is not allowed to be involved in the giving of ribis, just as the malv is not allowed to be involved in the taking of ribis. Where does it say that in the Chumash? So it doesn't say it the Feirish, but the Tosha Apeh says it on the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseh. Lo sashich leachicha. Lo sashich leachicha is a different loss than lo sikach ribis. Lo That's referring, the Pesukim Parshas Bahar referring primarily to the Malveh. Well, Lo Sashech Lechicha means don't give the ribis, don't provide the ribis, i.e. there's an Issa Gama to the Leivah. So the Leivah is over as an Issa Bifnei Atzma, not only with the Malveh, the Leivah is over Bifnei Atzma and the Issa of Lo Sashech as well. Then the Mishnah goes on and says that not only is the Malva of an Issar, and not only is the Lova of an Issar, but sometimes you can have other people who are also involved in Issura Min HaTorah. That's what the Gemara quotes in another pasuk of Vashem Mishpat, Lo Sasimun Olav Neshech, that there's an Issar to be involved in any type of a business transaction. So the Mishnah says, who's involved in the business transactions of Ribbis? So the Mishnah says, the Eidim. So you have Eidim who are testifying of this transaction. Well, let's say you have a cipher, the guy who's writing up the documents. So anyone who's involved in any shape or form in the Isurim of Ribbis is in violation of the Isur of Lo Sasimun Olav Neshech. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Malv is over a peckle of his Isurim, and the Lov is over a peckle of his Isurim, but even the Eidim and the cipher are also involved in their Isurim. In addition to all the Isurim, the individual Isurim that each member of this transaction is in violation of, so then there's another issue you have to deal with. That's the issue of Lifnei Iver. So Lifnei Iver is another Issa. Anytime I cause you to violate an Issa, that's my Issa of Lifnei Iver. So let's say, for example, the classic example is the Gemara of a Nazir. If I give Yayin to a Nazir, so I'm causing him to violate his Issa. It's not my Issa, I'm not a Nazir, but if I give Yayin to a Nazir, I'm violation of Lifnei Iver. Gemara says that even if I give it to a Goy, I give Eva Menachai to a Goy, since a Goy is not allowed to have Eva Menachai, so I'm in violation of the Issa Deraisa of Lifnei Iver, Lasita, and Mirshal. Here the Mishnah says that you can sometimes be over Lifnei Iver also. The Malveh is not only over his Isser, but he's being machshel the Lov at his Isser. And the Lov is not only being over his Isser, he's being machshel the Malveh at his Isser. And the Eidim being machshel the Malveh and the Lov. Everyone's being machshel each other. So it's a bad situation. It's like the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Akdamah to say Chafetz Chaim that anytime you speak Lashon Hara, so you're not only violation of the Isser of Lashon Hara, you're in violation of Lifnei Iver also. Because there's an Isser to hear Lashon Hara, to believe Lashon Hara. So if I tell you a good Kishmaka story and you believe it, so I was just machshel you in the Isser of believing Lashon Hara. And you, by listening to Lashon Hara, will machshel me in the speaking of Lashon Hara. If you wouldn't have listened, I wouldn't have said it. I would have told, there's no way for Lashon Hara to talk to the wall. So if I talk to you and you sit there and you listen, so you're being machshel me as well. So you can multiply a lot of Yisurim throwing the Yisur of Lifnei Iver. So in that sugya, in the end of Ezer Neshech, when the Mishnah starts rattling off the who's over this and who's over that and who's over Lifnei Iver, so Tosfos stops and says, wait a second, it's not so poshut. Lifnei Iver is not always a violation in the realm of Ribis, based on the following. The Gemara says in Masechet Sefer Hazon, Davav HaMebeis, that the Isur of Lifnei Iver is not always violated. Let's say the following example. If I give Eva Menachai to a Goy, so comes the Gemara and draws the following distinction. If the Goy couldn't have gotten the Eva Menachai himself, it's called Trei Iber Dinahara. That means he's on the other side of the ocean, the other side of the river. He can't get the Eva Menachai, and I provide him the Eva Menachai. I'm the one who's enabling him to violate his Isra of Lifnei Iver, and violate his Isra of eating Eva Menachai. That's called Lifnei Iver. But if there's an Eva Menachai store right there, and I go ahead and I hand him Eva Menachai, he can get it himself. So what kind of Lifnei Iver is that? I wasn't machshel him. He would have violated the same Issa whether I was there or not. So comes the Gemara and says, that's not called Lifnei Iver. So Tosfos points out, whenever you deal with Isurim of Rivas, you have to always ask yourself that question. We want to nail you for Lifnei Iver also, says Tosfos, not so poshut. It's not always an Isur of Lifnei Iver. It's only an Isur of Lifnei Iver if and when the person wouldn't have had the ability to violate the Isur himself. So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, as follows. Let's say you have a Malva and a Loiva. They're lending money, he's not lending money by Rivas, and they asked two Edim to come and watch the loan. So the loan would have taken place even without the Edim. The guy would have trusted him without the Edim. Well, yes, he put Edim there. Well, let's say they come and they ask a sofer to write a document. He would have lent the money. Milva Bepal Pei would have also lent the money. But Liesa says, he's asking him to write a document. So Taisa says, the Edim or the sofer is going to be in violation of the Losa Simon of Neshach. That's no question. Anytime you assist, anytime you're involved in the Yisr, so that's not doing Lifnei Iver. That's an independent Yisr that each person involved in a Ribbis transaction is in violation of. But if you want to nail the guy also for Lifnei Iver, so says Taisa, then you got to work with the regular rules of Lifnei Iver. The regular rules of Lifnei Iver are subject to the klolim, the parameters, and if it is davav, that Lifnei Iver only applies if the person couldn't have done it on his own. So Taisa says you have to be careful before you throw the book at him, before you throw Lifnei Iver at him, just make sure you read the regular rules of Lifnei Iver, the sugyas and if it is ar. So again, we have the malva, who's the primary violator here, then you have the lova, who's also, sense, a primary violator. Then you have other people who are assisting, they're in violation of Losa Sibin Olav Neshech. And if you sometimes you can throw at them the Issur Lifnei Iver as well. So if anyway they're going to be in violation of Losa Sibin Olav Neshech, so why is it important for us to discuss Lifnei Iver? We're learning Ribbis now, so why are we spending, we're going to spend a little bit of time now on the guidelines of Lifnei Iver? Because sometimes you have a situation where a person is involved in a Ribbis transaction where they're not technically in violation of Losa Sibin Olav Neshech. I mean, they didn't actually write up the document. They're not actually testifying. What are they doing? They're doing some real kind of Lifnei Iver. So let's say they're a lawyer. They're involved in some kind of their client's Ribbis transaction. So if they're the one who was mamish drafting the documents, they're mamish writing up the shtar halva, and it says in it that Reuven is borrowing $100 from Shimon to pay back $120. So that's the cipher. So then if either you're in violation of this, if the lawyer's mamish testifying on the case, he's the aide, he's signing on the contract or something. So that's also that's Edim of Simonal of Nesha. But very often you don't have that. Very often, you know, a guy comes to you, you're the lawyer, and he's asking for your advice. He's asking you how to set up the case, how to do this, how to do that. So you're providing him all the information. You're helping, and you know he's Jewish, the Malv is Jewish, the Lov is Jewish, and you're assisting this type of a violation. So even though it may not technically be Losa Sibin Olav Neshech, it may not meet the requirements of Losa Sibin Olav Neshech, but Lifnei Iver it may be. So you have to always reckon in, whenever you have a ribbis shaila, if you're not actually involved in the giving and taking the ribbis, you have to always ask yourself, well, am I facilitating this? Am I involved in this issur in any way, in any shape or form? So that's going to be my problem with Lifnei Iver. So we have to stop for a minute learning of this ribbis and learn just a little bit of the background of Lifnei Iver, because these shailas come up. So again, even though you're very firm and you would never in a million years think of lending money by ribbis to somebody, but your client is lending money to ribbis to somebody, you're a business partner, whatever it is, you're somebody and you're being asked to help to some degree, so this may become your problem of ribbis. Even if it's not technically an Israel Losa Simon, it may still be a problem of Lifnei Iver. So we just have to get a little bit of a background, because Taisus brings it up at the end of Ezen Hashem. Taisus refers you to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Davar, where the Gemara says that the guiding principle of Lifnei Iver is this idea of whether it's possible for the other person to get it without your assistance or not. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that as long as the other person could get it on his own, that's not called Lifnei Iver. The context of the Gemara is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Davar, where the Gemara is talking about selling things to Goyim that they may potentially use for Avodah Zarah. So if I'm going to sell them animals, and I think they're going to use these animals in their sacrificial rites, so that's already my problem. That's already my yisur of Lifnei Iver L'Sita Michshol. So the Gemara says that, well, the goy can get it somewhere else. I'm not the only seller of animals in town. The goy can get it from somebody else, and that's not considered to be a problem of Lifnei Iver. So there seems to be a machlekes in Rishonim how to understand Pshat of this Gemara. So some Rishonim write that b'med d'var mamurim, that it's mutter. That means it's mutter min haTorah. But it doesn't solve the problem of Lifnei Iver L'Gamri. There's still a problem of Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. So those who learn beginning Masechah Shabbos, when is the yeshiva learning Shabbos? A couple of years down the line, 5 years from now, whatever it is. Okay, whenever the yeshiva is getting to Shabbos. So the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, Nav Gimel, so Taiz and the Rush discuss this, that there may be an Issa lurking, what's called Lifnei Iver Derabanan. We spoke about this in Eretz Yisrael, right? Who was with me in Eretz Yisrael? January. Yeah. Who was he, right? We talked about this with the army, no? Can we talk? Was this the shiur we gave? No. Who was there? No one
there?
You were this, right? The army shiur I gave, right? So that there may be, that's the big picture. The big picture with me and the chayalim, no? Arm in arm. Okay. Everyone knows the picture. No one knows what I said. So I spoke a little bit about this, about lifnei v'derais, lifnei v'derabanan, but a lot of shadows of lifnei that come up in the army. I'm working with someone who's not yet shomer Torah mitzvahs, so I'm going to do something that's going to end up causing him to be chayten. When is that called lifnei v'derabanan, when is it not? So comes a group of rishonim and say that lifnei iver may not apply min haTorah if he could do it on his own, but v'derabanan it's going to still be a problem. And other rishonim seem to say no. It's mamish mutar. It's mamish het gomer. So the Ramah in Yeridea, I think they put the Ramah in the Ramakamis, right? The Ramah in Yeridea quotes two opinions about it. I'm rishonim about this. So some point out that it's a very, very difficult Ramah. It's a very difficult shitas in the rishonim. How can it be that there are some rishonim who say that it's aser? The chor doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says beferush in Avodah Zarah that if the whole reason for selling animals to goyim is based on the fever, maybe it's based on other things, but if the whole reason that you're not allowed to sell potential sacrificial animals to the goyim is based on the fever, so the Gemara says pemale that if the goy can get it himself, it's mutter. So what do you think? Some rishonim say that it's also midrabanan. Where's it also midrabanan? The Gemara says black and white that it's mamish mutter. So the Gra on that Ramah says that you have to say according to those rishonim that it was only mutter in the case of Avodah Zarah, because that's not really lifnei iver in the first place. You know it's not really lifnei iver in the first place? I don't know the guy is going to use this for sacrifice. I suspect there's a chance he may use it for sacrifice. So that's what the Gemara said, that this is not the real mekor lifnei iver anyway. This is not the srach of lifnei iver. This is a mash of lifnei iver. So that's what the Gemara meant to say, that if it's not a real lifnei iver anyway, since there's a good chance that he's going to use it to eat for himself, Lav Davka is going to be for Avodah Zarah. So if he's able to get it from somewhere else, and it's not even sure he's going to use it in the first place, then and only then is going to be mutter. But if I know that I'm facilitating an Avera, there's no Shaila whatsoever, a guy is standing next to me and he asks me, please give me a piece of Eved Menachai to eat. I want to eat it. I'm not going to do anything else with it. I'm going to eat it in 5 minutes from now. So come some Rishonim and say, the Gemara never said that's mutter. The Gemara just said that in a case where it's not real the flavor, then and only then is it going to be mutter if he can get it on his own. But infants alarm me that it's the real Makoy, I know for a fact he's going to do an Avera. So although min haTorah, it's not called Lefneiver because he could do it on his own, Midraban, it's still called Lefneiver. That's what the Gra says. So according to this Bir HaGra, we're going to be up the creek here. We're going to have a lot of Lefneiver Shilas. Let's say I'm a lawyer. A guy comes to me and he says, I need your help in setting up, I need some legal advice how to deal with this case. And I know for Farish that it involves ribbis between two Jews. So I can't just hide behind the Rishonim and say, well, wait a second, no, hide behind the Gemara and say, he can get another lawyer. So since he can get another lawyer, that's not called lifnei iver. No, not so simple. Even though he could get another lawyer, so that's not going to be lifnei iver deraisa, but it's still going to be an issur of lifnei iver derabanan according to many Rishonim. And the Gemara of Arizar is not a raya. The Gemara of Arizar is only talking about hacha v'yaskinan in a situation where it's not real lifnei iver because there's not going to be any necessarily an aveir involved. So that, if you go with that route of the Gra, that's going to spell trouble for us in terms of a lot of our lawyer issues in terms of the Iber. But there is another understanding of the Sugya, which we spoke a lot about in ourselves. That's the Shach's understanding of the Sugya. Comes the Shach and says, we got it all wrong. We misunderstood what was going on. The Shach says, this is a fair Shikamah. The Gemara says, black and white, that if the person can do the Avera without my assistance, so then it's not a problem. That's not called the Fneva. Finished. End of discussion. That's not called the Fneva. Problem is, we have Rishonim who say that it's still also mid the Rabbanan. So what do you mean it's also mid the Rabbanan? The Gemara says it's Mutar. Where did the Yisrael Rabbanan come in? So comes the Shach and says the answer is as follows. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Avav happens to be talking about being Machshel a Goy. That's the case of the Gemara. I'm going to give a Goy an animal, and the Goy is going to use this animal for Avodah Zarah. Maybe use it for Avodah Zarah. So comes the Shach and says there's a difference between lifnei iver to a Jew in contrast to lifnei iver to a Goy. Says the Shach, if it's lifnei iver to a Jew, so then even though min haTorah, if he can do it on his own, that's not a problem. But mid derabanan, that's still a problem. What's the nature of that is a derabanan? Says the Shach, I have a chiv to make sure that all Jews don't violate Averus. There's a mitzvah of Frisham. He is according to one day in the Gemara, even if I see a child doing an Avera, I have to stop him. We have the Paschim, maybe not that way, But there's a general responsibility. I have to make sure that Jews don't do Averas. I don't have to make sure that Goyim don't do Averas. I'm not allowed to be machshel a Goyim in Avera. But if I see a Goy doing an Avera, I'm not mechuyev to give him Musa. I'm not mechuyev to run over him. The mitzvah of Tochacha is ochech t'chichas amisecha. That's the chiyuv that's from one Jew to another. From a Jew to a Goy, I can't actively cause him to do an Avera. That's the evil of the michshel. That's bein b'Jew, bein b'Goy. But there's no mitzvah of frisha me'isa. So comes a shach and says, that's what's going on in this sugya. Comes a shach and says, there are two different sugyas here. There are two different halachas. There's a din of lifnei iver, and then there's a din called lahafrisha meyisa. Lifnei iver applies bein of abimachshel a Jew, bein of abimachshel a goy, but lifnei iver only applies when I'm the one who's being machshel him. If he can do it on his own, he can get another lawyer, get another doctor, get another Indian chief. That's not my problem. That's not called lifnei iver. Bechlal, that's not called lifnei iver. But there's a second issue to be concerned with. That's the hafrisha meyisar. How can I be part of a Jew doing another aveira, even if it's not technically being machshel him? Even if he does it on his own, I'm supposed to step to the plate. I'm supposed to step in and try to prevent him if I can. So comes the shach and says, when the rishonim, if the rishonim write that you're not allowed to be machshel a Jew in aveira, even if he could do it on his own, even if he could do it with somebody else. So that's iser the rabbanim, that new iser. Only applies to a Jew. It doesn't apply to a Goy. That's what the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says. When the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that I'm allowed to give an animal to a Goy because he can get the animal from somewhere else, that's right. I can give an animal to a Goy because he can get the animal from somewhere else because it's not lifnei iver. And there's no din lafrisha meyisar on Goyim. But if that would be a Jew, that would be a problem, says the Shach. Because for a Jew, so even though they're not Torah, it's not lifnei iver, but it's still in a quote-unquote din midrabanan / whatever you want to call it, it's a din called afrisha meyisa. So in the end of the day, says the Shach, the real answer, the correct answer to this dilemma, tachlis, bottom line, am I allowed to be machshel somebody if they could end up doing the chet by themselves? Is that my problem? It's not a problem in the rights of lefneiver, but when it comes to a Jew, it is a problem of machshel lobiyas. It's a problem of, not machshel lobiyas, it's mafrisha meyisa. This is what the Shach says. So if the Shach would just stop at this point, this would also spell disaster for us. Because that would mean, so tachlis, I have two Jews who come, not having goyish clients, not my problem, if there's no issa for goy to take ribbis. There's one Dan Tais that says there's an issa for one goy to take ribbis from another goy. It's one Dan Tais. In the Middle Ages, that's how they used to hold. The goyim wouldn't take ribbis from one another. That's how the Jews got all messed up in the ribbis world. But the Bizman is there, the Olam seems to be a little bit more makel. They follow the other Dan Tais, except by the Arabs, the Muslims. The Muslims are very, very machped on the ribbis to such an extent that they have the whole system of heteriskas. So I remember I was listening to the radio a couple of months ago. I don't know why I was on this station exactly. There was some Muslim scholar, some scholar of Islamic law, who's giving a whole shtickle Torah about how they lend money for ribbis, Bizman is there. So he's carrying a whole story how it's not really a loan, it's really an investment, and we pay back this, and it's a knas, it's a yad. His mom was describing heteriska. We beat them to it 500 years ago with the Gedolim already figured out in Europe how to finagle the... We'll talk about it a little bit later on. Compare and contrast our heteriska. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Okay. But getting back to the story. So when all these problems of a lawyer or a guy in business, whatever he's doing, he's an accountant, whatever he's being involved in assisting people doing ribbis, he's assisting two Jews in doing ribbis. So we're back up the creek. We have a problem according to the Shach now because it's Jews. So when they're Jews, even if you can get another lawyer, it's still my problem. So according to the Gra, it's a problem. According to the Shach, it's a problem. We're in serious problems. So comes the Shach and says, here's the punchline in the Hakam. Comes the Shach and says, this second category of Lafrisha Meyisar that the Shach was just Mechadish. So the Shach says, this only applies to people who I'm supposed to be Mafrish Meyisar. Who am I supposed to be Mafrish Meyisar? A Jew. Who am I not supposed to? Will not mechuyev to be mafrish meyisar. A good. And then the Shach says the next punchline. He says, and who adinam me? I'm not mechuyev to be mafrish meyisar. A Yisrael mumur. That's what the Shach writes. He quotes the Tosis that the din of lafrish meyisar doesn't apply to Yisrael mumur. So the Shach writes, and therefore we understand what Tosis writes. What if there's a Yisrael mumur? This guy was born Jewish. Now he converted to another religion, and he's sacrificing animals. So Tosis writes that therefore I would be permitted to give him an animal. Because he can get it from somewhere else. As long as he can get it from somewhere else, it's not lifnei iver. And I don't have to be worried about lafrisha meyisa. So the Shach says, because you see from here, that there's no din of lafrisha meyisa on Yisrael Mumah. So what exactly does that mean? Why exactly should that be so? So one could have understood the Shach to mean as follows. that once he's yotze mechlala misecha, you know, we have rules in other areas of halacha, that if a Jew goes so off the derech, he converts to another religion, comes to Ovid of Edizar, Machal Shas Hesya, he's so off regular shmiras tarva mitzvahs, so then he becomes yotze mechlala misecha legabe certain halachas. He doesn't lose Kedushas Yisrael, he's still Jewish, but he's Makadosh Anisha, the woman needs to get min atar, we paskin. But legabe certain rights and privileges of being a Jew, so he loses certain of those privileges. This may be one of those privileges that he loses, that we're not responsible for him. We don't have to take care of him. We don't have to stop him doing averus. So chech techech es amisecha. Amisecha means am chashe b'tarim mitzvahs. Someone who means he's doing an avera, but he's basically in the league of being shem b'tarim mitzvahs. That's what I would have said pshat in the shach. If that would have been true, if that would have been shot in the shach, then we would have had to close up shop again based on the shach. Why? Because the Rambam writes in the Chazmamrim that we assume that this category of Yotz Mechala Misecha only applies to people who are Mezidim, people who are, it's not their fault, it is their fault, or they're responsible for what they did. They decided to go off the derech, they decided to convert to another religion on their own, they decided to become Kaifrim. But the Rambam describes the Bnei HaKaroyim, the Bnei HaTzdukim, the Rambam says, that it's not their fault, they were raised this way. The Rambam coins the phrase Tinuk Shenishba. The Gemara has Tinuk Shenishba in a different context. The Gemara in Shabbos has it about a real Tinuk Shenishba, Mamasha, a real kid, Jewish kid who was never kidnapped by Goyim as a baby. But the Rambam says this is also called kidnap. So even though they know a little bit about Jews, they've heard of Jews, and they know that there's such a thing maybe called the Torah, and they've heard a little bit about Orthodox Jews, but they think that it's all, they don't really understand it. They think it's all only the Hasidim who do it, and they don't really understand they're supposed to be doing it also. The whole thing is Tidak Shanish, but the Rambam writes, and therefore we have to treat them with love and be Makar, but then that's the Rambam, famous Rambam, Nuchas Mamrim. So if that's the case, of Bizman Hazeh, a non-from client comes to you, and he wants to be involved in some kind of ribbis transaction. So you can't hide behind the shach and say that, well, he can get another lawyer, and there's no mitzvah lafrisha miyasir, because he's not from anyway. So why do I have to be mafrisha miyasir? So pasha, it's not true. That din lafrisha miyasir would apply bizman hazeh. But the good news for us, the possible good news for us, is the Nei Bihuda. The Nei Bihuda in his notes on the side of the shach of Dogma Vava seems to understand the shach in a different way. The Nei Bihuda writes that the reason why the Yisrael Mumar is not included in the mitzvah of Chech Techech Sabesecha is not because he's a bad guy, because he's a Rasha. The mitzvah of Chech Techech Sabesecha, Lafisha Miyasa, means when you have a fighting chance to accomplish something. So if I see a guy doing an Aveira, the guy's basically Shamatar Mitzvahs, and I see him sneaking in to McDonald's, so I should really grab him and say, what are you going into McDonald's for? Chech Techech Sabesecha. So it's a chance. He may listen, he may not listen. That's the mitzvah of Chech Techech Sabesecha. I see a guy who never heard of kashrus. The guy never heard of Shabbos, never heard of Torah, never heard of Shema, doesn't know anything. And I'm going to stand in the corner and grab him by the neck and say, don't call him McDonald's. The guy's going to call the cops on me. He's going to punch me in the face. He says, that's not okay. It's not you don't have a chance to try to explain to be mafresh this person from the Isser. So comes in the Nei Bihuda and says, that's not the mitzvah of Chech Techech. It's not because he's a bad guy. It's because it's not shayach to accomplish anything. So if that's the case, the chayra people who are today, quote unquote, mumrim, even though they're not mumrim in the sense of that they're rishayim, they're not mumrim in the sense of that mezidim, because they're all tinuk shenishbas, 99% of bizman hazeh, but lamaisi, you still don't stand a chance. So you're going to go explain to him. A guy comes into your office, you're a firm lawyer, guy's going to come into the office and say, I'd like you, I need your assistance in a business transaction that's going to involve taking interest. So you're going to give him a whole shtickle to you. You're going to say, oh, good, you came today. Let's go on Y Torah, let's do the June's man shirim, and for sure the guy's going to stop taking ribbons after that. The guy thinks you're off the wall. The guy thinks ribbons first. He never heard of Shabbos. That's where you're going to start your introduction to Yiddish guy with him. You're going to explain to him there's Nisar ribbons. He'll say, you're crazy. So that's not even shayach to explain to him that not take ribbons. If you start to explain not take ribbons, thank you very much, and go to somebody else. Be involved in helping him take ribbons. So a mumer, a totally non from Jew today, he's not a mumer in the sense of being a Rasha, but he's a mumer in the sense of that there's no chiv lafisha miyasar. So if there's no chiv lafisha miyasar, as long as you can get around the fleva deraisa, then you may be home free. So if you put this shach together with this Nei Bihuda, you may have a beginning of a kulah, the beginning of a heter. But if you have a totally non from person who wants to be involved in business deals, you have to be careful of a few things. You have to, number one, be careful that there's low sasimun alav neshech. You're not mamish actively setting up the deal. If you mamish actively set up the deal by writing the documents up, or you are the aid or something, so forget lifnever. That's an isagoma bifneyatzma. And number two, you have to be careful that there's no real lifnever. And how could there not be lifnever? Because he can get somebody else to do it for him. So, and assuming that he's someone who's not even in the ballpark of understanding anything about ribbis, So if you hold like the Shachar and the Yehuda, then you can begin to be Mekel. Then you can begin to discuss being involved in some kind of a ribbis transaction. Again, not actively, and you're not obviously taking the ribbis and giving the ribbis. You are the one who's supervising the giving and the taking of the ribbis. If all those conditions are met, then you can begin to discuss, do we follow the Yehuda or not? So that's a further question, do we follow the Yehuda? So a different opinion, whether we actually rely on this Yehuda or not. So the Tzorchian. Whether we should mamish be maker like this, but there are poskim who seem to be maker like this Neidib Yehuda. Okay, so that was all. That was an aside. Now we get back to the real, almost back to the real Makor of Ribbis. So we said that there are a lot of different isurim for Ribbis. There's an isur in the Malv, an isur in the Loiv, and the Eid, and the Seif, etc. And then to throw into this cholent is the isur of Lifnei Iver. So the Rishonim and Medayek in Ezu Neshech that all of these Isurim only apply if it's Ribbis D'Oraisa. If it's Ribbis D'Rabbanan, so then it depends. If it's Ribbis D'Rabbanan, there is for sure an Isur on the Malve to take Ribbis, even Ribbis D'Rabbanan. But there's no Isur on the Lova to give Ribbis D'Rabbanan, short of the Isur Lifnei Iver. So come the Rosh is Medayek from Gemara in Ezu Neshech that when it comes to Ribbis D'Rabbanan, so then we're not from the Malva's vantage point, but from the Lova's vantage point, from the Seifer, from the Eidim, all those secondary Yisurim don't apply to Ribbis D'Rabbanan, they only apply to Ribbis D'Oraisa. Why should we sell? It's a whole question. But that's the deal that the Rosh has in the Gemara. That's what the later poskim assume as well. So when you're dealing with Ribbis D'Rabbanan, which a lot of the Shahs of Ribbis that come up are going to be D'Rabbanan, we'll see as we go on, doesn't mean the Mutter. From the Malva, for sure it's Asar, and from the Lova it's Asar, it's Lifnei Iver, but the only Yisur that's involved is an Yisur of Lifnei Iver. So one shouldn't take the Yisur of Lifnei Iver lightly. The Mechas Chinuch has a Chiddush Gadol in the Rebbe of Lifnei Iver. The Mechas Chinuch says, let's say a machsho someone in an Issa Derabbanan. I facilitate you to violate Mukta. You asked me to provide you Mukta, I provide you something that's Mukta, so I helped you violate an Issa Derabbanan. So the Mechas Chinuch says that he thinks that I was in violation of an Issa Deraisa. You who moved the Mukta was only in violation of a Derabbanan. But I who caused you to move the Mukta is a violation of an Issa Deraisa. What's the Issa Deraisa? Lifnei Iver. What's the Lifnei Iver? Lifnei Iver, it's no worse, no better giving him bad advice. If I give a guy lousy advice, so that's, if I do it intentionally, if I give him bad advice, I thought I was giving him the best financial advice, then he lost all his money, so that's not Lifnei Iver. I'm just a bad financial advisor. But if I know that this is bad advice, in a million years, I would never invest my own money in this, but I give him some lousy advice for some other reason, so that's an Issa D'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver L'Asita Michshol. So the Chinuch says, if I give a guy bishalakom, I give him food to eat, that's treif. So that's bad advice. That's terrible advice. I'm doing something that's detrimental to him. So that would be a violation of Lifnei Iver on the level of the D'Oraisa. So it comes out a strange thing that the person who's in the case of a ribbis D'Rabbanan, so the Malva is only in violation of an Isser D'Rabbanan of Havas ribbis, whereas the Loiva who's being violating Lifnei Iver ends up being a violation of a D'Oraisa. It could be then the Malva is in violation of a Lifnei Iver also, because he's being machshir the other guy and giving him bad advice. So then you can spend the rest of your life trying to figure out who's in violation of what. The bottom line is to stay away from ribbis. But if the rice, the rabbanon, the mice, you stay away from ribbis, because it's sometimes the rice, sometimes the rabbanon, sometimes the iver, etc. So at least we have a little bit of a background as to who's in violation of what in terms of the yisur ribbis. I mean, there's machlokes to be shown, but if the is in a klal, is a prati, I'm not sure it would make a difference. Okay, so we have a little bit of a background in terms of who's involved in the Issa. We have a little bit of a background what the definition of ribbis derais is, at least in terms of ketutz and not ketutz. So now we have to move on to the really major topic in terms of the role of the malv and the role of the lover. So it takes. As the phrase goes, malva takes two to tango. So in order to have ribbis, you have to have a malva and you have to have a lova. So we're going to talk a little bit further as we go on, a little bit what exactly defines a malva, who exactly is a malva, who exactly is a lova, what's considered in today's modern world. Sometimes you have strange situations, who's a malva, who's a lova. But just the ABCs require a malva and a lova to such an extent that the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia Ezu Neshech that lo osra teira el ribbis habomiyad malva liyad lova, that unless not only do you have to have a malve, not only do you have to have a love, but the ribbis, this money that's transferring, has to be transferred from the malve to the love. If there's some third party involved, so that's not going to be ribbis deraisa, and sometimes that's not even going to be ribbis derabbanan. That's a phrase the Gemara uses, lo asra teira, el ribbis abom yad malve yad love. So, there's a left out of Marcus. Okay. Oh, yeah, we'll survive. Okay, Shimon's mine if we make without the Marcus. So three, we need three people. Okay, who wants to be, okay, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuben wants to borrow $100 from Shimon, okay? So Reuben's wants to borrow $100 from Shimon, and Levi knows that this loan's about to take place, but, you know, Levi knows Shimon's a hard, hard sell. He's not so sure Shimon's going to be able to lend him the money. So Levi goes up to Shimon. He wasn't asked to do so by Reuben. Levi on his own goes up to Shimon and says, listen, I know you're going to lend money to, you think you're lending money to my good friend Reuben. I want to just make it a little bit more advantageous for you. I know you're going to lend him $100 and no one has to show him think you're giving ribbons. So you lend him $100 and he'll pay back $100 and I'll give you $10 on the side. So what's the din? So the Gemara says that's mutter. It's mutter min ha-tar, mutter mid-rabban. Het ha-gomar. That's lo osra tarah l'ribbons ha-bomi ha-nova l'al-malva. Because it's true that the Malva is making money on this deal. Reuben's ending up with a net. He lent $100 and now he's got $110 in his pocket, but he never got the extra $10 on the loiva. So that's bechlal not ribbons. That's nothing. That's zero. So come to Rishonim and say, you have to be very, very careful with that, because sometimes that could look very, very fishy. Sometimes you can have a situation where such a deal happened that Levi went to Shimon and said, lend $100 to Reuben, I'll give you an extra $10. But why did Levi do that? Because Reuben asked him to do that. So that doesn't look so well. Or Tosfos writes, let's say after Levi gives the $10 to Shimon, so now the loan goes through. So Levi comes to Reuben and he says, let me tell you, by the way, last week I arranged this, I brokered this loan for you and I got, without being asked, and it cost me $10. It would be nice if you paid me the $10. So Reuben says, thank you so much, we'll give you $10. So Tosfos says, that's a problem. Because then it's mamish nirikish lucho. Then the whole thing looks like a joke. Then it looks like the money mamish came from, that extra $10 went from Reuben to Shimon. So comes Tosfos and says that this din of lo'osotol lo'yal malve can't be abused. Because if you make it too obvious that this is just a l'shem, then you can take all of ribbis and turn it into a game. So comes Tosfos and says that minat Torah there's a klal, also tell ribbis, hey, Bobby, I love that malva. It's true minat Torah, it's true midrabanan. You just have to be careful that it can't be that the loaf is eventually going to pay back the middle person because if he pays him back, the whole thing looks like a joke.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome midrabanan. So then Tosfos comes to point down and says that sometimes you can have a situation which at first glance sounds like it should be part of this rule of law, also Tomi Adovalan Malva, and it should really be mutter, but it's a big problem, says Tosfos. It's mamish a problem in the love of their eyes. What's the case? It's a very, very common shalom. Mamish all the time. I lend you $100, and I say to you like this, listen, you pay me back $100, and then give the extra $10 to tzedakah. I don't want to take ribbons from you, Chalila, I just take ribbons from you, not a Jew. Take the $10 and give it to tzedakah. So comes Tosfos and says, that's ribbons goma min ha-Torah. That's mamish ribbons deraisa. So Tosfos says, wait a second, hold on, how could that be ribbons deraisa? Lo'asra Torah l'ribbons ha-babi and lo'la malveh. So it didn't come from the yad ha-lov l'yad ha-malveh, went from the yad ha-loveh l'yad to the tzedakah, went to the yamin, went to the yeshiva, and went to, I say to you, listen, I'll lend you $100, with the understanding, I'll lend you $100, and I want you to give a donation to IU. So that's called mamish ribbons goma min ha-Torah. Why is that ribbons goma min ha-Torah? It's not me and you're l'yad malveh. So comes Tosfos and dug up a Gemara in the end of Baba Basra, and the Gemara beginning with Sas Kedushin, called the Din of Arev. What does Arev mean? Arev means like this, that I want to borrow $100 from you. Back to Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben wants to borrow $100 from Shimon, but Reuben doesn't have such great credit. So what happens? So Levi goes ahead and says to Shimon, you lend him $100, okay? And if he doesn't pay up the money, so I'll co-sign the loan. I'll pay up the money instead. It's called an Arif. Mishnah, the end of a Basra. So comes the Gemara and says, based on Psukim and Svaras, my whole sugya in the end of a Basra, that's binding. That agreement is mamish binding in the Torah. That even though the Levi, the third guy, the Arif, never saw a penny, but it doesn't matter. It's considered to be, he becomes in effect like the Lovet, and he now becomes Mechuyev to pay back the loan. So comes the Gemara in the beginning of Seder's Kedushin, and there's a startling case based on this. Based on this din of Arif, comes the Mishnah and says, as I come to Gemara and says, normally the ABCs of Kedushin are Kikach Ishisha, Ishin Niknis Kesav Shav Kesav, so the Chosin has to give a pruta to the Kala. So comes the Gemara in Kedushin Azayin and says, you can be Mekadosh and Isha without the Kala getting anything. What happens? There are three people standing under the Chuppah. There's the Chosin, there's the Kala, the third guy, friend, whatever, the Shamchan, he's standing under the Chuppah. He or she's standing under the Chuppah. What happens? So, Reuben is about to be mekadesh the kala. So the kala says, no, don't give me the ring. It's okay. I want you to give the ring instead to somebody else. So comes the chasid and he says, he gives the ring to somebody else, and he says to the kala, I'm giving the ring to somebody else. And the Gemara says, the condition is chal, minatayra. The woman's in Eishish, gone with minatayra. What happened? He didn't give her a ring. So how could that possibly be good? So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav, Mekudeshes within Arev. That's binding based on the principle of Arev. So what does that mean? It's based on the principle of Arev. So just as in Hilchas Arev, Levi, the cosigner, the third guy, became Mechuyav to pay a loan, even though he never got anything. He never got any money. He told Reuben to give money to Shimon. So what do you see from here? Zetman from Da, that when I tell you to give money to somebody else, it's as if you gave me the money. That's what Arev means. So I never saw a penny. Levi never saw anything. But Levi cosigned. In effect, Levi authorized Reuben to give money to Shimon. It's as the authorization to give somebody else money is either you gave me the money myself. That's what you see for the din of Arev. And you see for the Gemara, that's not limited just to Chayshim Mishpat. It affects Ebenezer, it affects the Sevei Hetzer also. And that's called a perfectly acceptable Kiddush Min HaTorah. Imagine under the Chuppah, someone would try to do that. Right? Imagine three people under the Chuppah, and the Kal sticks out a finger, and the Chal says, I don't have to give you the ring. The Kal says, okay, fine, don't give me the ring. Give the ring to my mother. Give the ring to somebody else. Not al Shlichas. I do Shlichas. That would be acceptable based on the Parash of Arev. So comes Taisus and says, what do you see from here? That the din of Arev is mechadish to me, that whenever I authorize you to give money to somebody else, it's as if you gave me the money. So through over here, when I enter the agreement with you and I say, I'm going to lend you $100, and I want you to do two things. I want you to return me the $100. I'm a big tzaddik. I would never take ribbons from you. But not only do I want you to give me $100 back, I'm making a deal with you. You're mechuyev to signing the dotted line. I will return $100 to Rabbi Sobolovsky, and I will give a $10 donation to such and such tzedakah that Rabbi Sobolovsky chooses. So now when I go ahead, when the lova goes ahead and gives the $10 donation to the yeshiva, he gave it al piv of the original person, al piv of the malveh. So since he gave money al piv of the malveh, that's tantamount to giving the money to the malveh himself. So says Taisa, that's a violation of Ribbis Diraisa. There's a malveh and there's a lova, and the money went from the malveh from the lova to the malveh. It didn't go physically to the malveh, but al pi halacha went to the malveh. So what
explicitly says which tzedakah to go to?
No. So some rishonim says, machlokes say rishonim, but the arev has to even have a recipient to it. Classic arev has a recipient to it. What if we made the following deal? I say to you, listen, I'm going to lend you $100. I want you to give me $100 back, and I want you to take $10 and throw it into the ocean. So some rishonim say that's also called arev. Arev means anytime I authorize you to dispense money, it's either you gave it to me. And other Mishnayim say, no, it's only Arev only means if you give it to Bardas. If I tell you to give it to Reuben, it's either you gave it to me. If I tell you to throw it into the garbage, that's nothing.
Can we buy by Hektish?
So, right, that would be the din. Right, that's the din. That if I say to you, I'm lending you $100, and you should give me $100 back and give a present to the Beis HaMikdash. Part of the deal, we write into the document, I'm going to return $100 to the Malveh, and I give a $10 donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So Taisa says, that's Mamish, Rivis Gomer, Minat Torah. So Tosfos says that's not lo asra tar ribis habavi alovi amal. That's a different story. In the case of ribis, the case of the Gemara, Levi walked in on his own. Levi comes to the mouth and whispers in his ear, "I'm giving you $10." Nobody told him. Nobody authorized him. There was no agreement between the mouth and the loiva that he's going to give them. Loiva's going to give the money to X. So that's. But when there's an agreement in the mouth and the loiva that the mouth authorizes the loiva to give the money to Pliny, to X, to the Beis Hamikdash, to Tzedakah, whatever it is, that's mamish ribis gomer min haTorah. So that shaila comes up. That shaila of ribis really, really does come up. There is a machlekes that we shown him. So that's the problem. There may be certain kulas if we didn't agree upon to give the money. Now you want to give it. Now you're just doing it for convenience reasons. That's a whole different story. We'll have to talk about that a little bit later on about ribbis, which is never agreed upon. Bechlal, it's a different story. But if there's agreement that give $100 and give money to the dollar.
Right.
Right, that's a different story. Right, so we'll have to talk about that a little bit later on. There is a machlekes of Risham, just technically, how this din of Arev works exactly. Why exactly is an Arev mechuyev? So the Gemara of Basra is unclear. The Gemara starts out with a pasuk, then with the svar, then the svar at the end. It's not clear what the maskaras Gemara is. So it seems to be machlekes of Rishonim. It's actually two ritvas. The ritva on kedushin and ritva on b'metzias seems to say different things. But one place the ritva writes that basically the din of Arev is really a function of Hana'ah. Namely that you can't become Meshubad without receiving anything. You can't become a Kudeshes without receiving anything. The Chiddush of Arev is that the fact that I told you to do something and you listened to me, so I feel good about this. And when the Kala is standing under the Chuppah and she says, give the ring to somebody else, and the Chassan listens, Kala feels geschmack. See, he actually likes me. He actually listens to what I said. So that's called a Hanah. How much does the Hanah have to be worth? Not very much. The Hanah doesn't have to be worth $100. It has to be worth a Pruta. The ring maybe is worth $100, but the Hanah has to be worth a Pruta. So a person would pay a Pruta in order to feel good about the fact that somebody was willing to actually listen to what you have to say. So come some Rishonim and say, that's how Arev really works. And when I tell you to lend money to somebody else, what's the Mechayev? What's Meshavin me? So what's Meshavin me is that you gave me a Kinyan Kesef. You gave me not literal Kesef, but figure of Kesef. You gave me Hanah. The fact that you were Mahana me, I'm willing to Meshav myself in return for that Hanah. That's what one place with Bar writes. Another place with Bar writes, no, you don't mean Hanah. Hanah is not the Kaveh over here. There's a din, there's a Gzeres HaKosef, like Malin Zafam Sukkim, it's a Gzeres HaKosef that nasa ma'isal piv, that as long as you moitzi mamon based on my authorization, it's ki'ilu you gave me the money. That's and not based on another. There's no hanor here. So din, it's halacha, that's ki'ilu the money was actually given from me to you. So the same for you to be. So that's how the condition works under the chuppah. So how much is the woman being mekudeshes with? So according to the first version in the Rishonim, the kesef kedushin is only the hanor's worth. So the hanor's worth, it's worth a pruta, that's good enough. According to the second version, so the kesef kedusha is the whole value of the ring. But the halach of Arev says that you don't have to give the ring to the kala. You can give the ring to anyone who the kala says to give the ring to. That's also considered to be a fulfillment of kesef kedusha al pi halacha as it was given to the kala. So my nafkumin is chaps nafkumin hilchos ribbis. When you have a ribbis with an Arev type of a situation like this, so I say to you, I'm going to lend you $100 with the following condition. You're going to give me back $100, you're going to give a $10 donation to the yeshiva. So how much money now is ribbis? And we went through with this. We actually did it. You violated ribbis. Mm-hmm. You violated ribbis deraisa based on Arab, and you gave the $10 donation to the yeshiva. How much ribbis did you violate? What was the amount quantitatively of ribbis? According to some Rishonim, the quantitative ribbis was not $10 worth. The quantitative ribbis is how much? How much would I benefit to know that I caused the yeshiva to get another $10? That's worth a nickel to me, whatever it is. So that's, you violated a nickel. There's a din of ribbis on prut also. So as long as you gave me some kind of anoa, that's called the ribbis ketsutza. Mamish ketsutza, ribbis ketsutza, the araisa, because we were kotze, it's that amount of anoa. And according to the other Rishonim, no, the amount of ribbis is $10. Because when you give the money to yeshiva based on my tzivoy, it's ki'ilu, you gave me the ribbis, $10 worth of ribbis. My nafkamina, we violated the issue anyway, who cares? But $10 of prut, anoa, what's the difference? It's a big nafkamina. Nafkamina is returning it. We'll talk about this hopefully at the end. One of the last sugyas is what happens if you violated ribbis. I lent you $100, classic ribbis. I gave you $100 and you gave me back $110. So I have to return the ribbis to you. It's a din deraisa. Ribbis consists of yitzvah deyon and basin will force me to return the $10. So in this kooky, crazy case of ribbis, I say, Arev, how much was basically going to force me to give back? Do I have to now pay you back $10? The yeshiva's not going to lose the money. So I got to come out of my pocket now and give you back $10. Because I got $10, even that I wasn't supposed to get. Where's the $10? It's in the yeshiva's account. That's my problem. So I'll take the yeshiva to the interior. But I got to pay you back $10. That's ribbis ketzutza for the yonim. Well, you say, I don't have to give you back $10. I'll give you back five cents. I got to make a cheshbon. I have to go get myself evaluated. How good did I feel about it? How big a smile did it put me on my face that I got a $10 yeshiva donation? So that nickel, whatever it's worth, I got to give you back a nickel to fulfill the din of ribbis ketzutza yotzei b'dayonim. So chaps enough kumin l'din and ilchos ribbis. But the din is for sure true. Tais is beferish, shulchan aruch is beferish. That's ribbis deraisa. So again, so we have a din in the books called la'asher teira l'ribbis abami an yov lo b'yad nava. That halacha is true. You have to be careful before you apply it. Make sure you don't apply it incorrectly because the RF case at first glance sounds like that, but it's not really true. So we have to talk a little bit more. For the next year, about some of the parameters of this din of ribbis abami and yovel amalva, the famous shah in the Rishonim, a very, very controversial issue in the Rishonim, about ribbis ayde shaliach. What would the halacha be? Does yad yilov yad malva mean literally, my aunt to yours? What would the din be if Reuven wants to buy $100 from Shimon and he wants to give him mamash real ribbis? So he'll pull Levi in and he say, okay, Levi, instead of me giving the money to Shimon, I'm going to give the money to you and you give the money to Shimon. Is that called ribbis deraisa? Ayde shalichos? Is that ribbis deraisa? Is that ribbis derabban? Is that motul lechatchila? So how literal does the phrase be a kikula? It's true. That's the baby true. That's the next part of the law. So tell ribbis abal yad yom lemal. Hopefully we'll talk about the next year. Okay, we have to schedule the shiur. What's that schedule? Anyone around Sundays and Mondays? Okay.